today we're going to conclude our series on thread that we started this last Easter, on thread and being clothed in Christ. And knowing what it means, this thread that kind of underweaves its way into the garment of our lives and everything we do, from our worship time to our personal prayer time to things that we do with the Lord, and learning to be a reflection of who He is and His mirror image, and to wear His name, and to wear His label, and to wear His garments, and to take our old nasty garments that are all cut up and scarred with years of abuse or sin, and trading those in and learning what it means to put on and be clothed in the garment of Christ. Today I want to conclude this series with asking you this question: is your thread wet? Is your thread wet? And today when you came in, if you came in when I did and it was raining, I can say the answer is yes. God must have knew the title of the sermon of the day, because all of our threads were wet today when we walked in with the rain happening today. If you have your Bibles, you can open up the book of John, chapter 1. We'll be reading around. You can make sure if you don't have your Bibles, you can read it there on the overhead. If you have your Bibles, you can read this in chapter 1. Here's a connection and the context here. John the Baptist saw Jesus, and he knew it was when Jesus was stepping up and stepping out to begin his public ministry. So here's what he said. He said, this is John the Baptist talking about Jesus. "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Now look in Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Let's read it together. Look what it says here. This is the beginning of the early church, and so you know what's happening here. The apostles are preaching and teaching. The day of Pentecost has just happened. They've been in the upper room waiting for the Holy Spirit. It's been poured out. And so they come out, and they're not drunk with wine, but they're drunk with the Holy Spirit, and they're out there, and things are happening. And this is right after that. Jesus had just been crucified and been resurrected, and this is what's happening here. It says that 3,000 were added to the number that day. 3,000 people were added to the church that day. It says in verse 41, "Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them." Everybody say 3,000. If you're here today and you say, "I don't like big churches," I say, then you won't like the first church. Because the first church grew by 3,000 people in one day. The first New Testament church. I mean, what a great start. You know, 3,000 people in one day. That's church growth 101 right there. And we see it happening there. Church grew. And look what happened immediately following that. We see a guy named Philip. Philip was an evangelist. He traveled south to Jerusalem. And he was walking and talking to an Ethiopian eunuch who happened to read the book of Isaiah. And he was talking to him about the book of Isaiah and how to become a Christian, what it means to be a Christian. And he took him and converted him to be a Christian, this guy from Ethiopia. It's amazing we see how the scripture is spread throughout the New Testament, how in the early seeds, how these foreigners are being saved and sent off to different places to spread the gospel. We see where Peter was all about the Jewish thing. He was a Jewish guy thinking that Jesus and salvation was just for the Jews. And Peter gets to get a revelation that, you know, that salvation is just not for the Jews. Just because Jesus was a Jew doesn't mean that salvation is just for the Jews. But Christianity is an all thing for everybody, every race, every type of people, every nations. And Peter begins to talk to Cornelius, who was a Roman centurion guard. And he began to talk to him about Christ and converted him to Christ. And Cornelius accepted Christ and went back and to come talk to my family. He had his whole family there, and they had this home group going on there. And the whole family got saved and accepted Christ. We see through the scripture people are accepting Christ. And what do these people have in common? We see where Christ shows up, and we see where Philip shows up, the Ethiopian, and Cornelius with the centurion. Things are happening here. What do these things have in common? Maybe I should ask you even this. What do these things have in common? Let's see. The following items have in common what? A catfish, Starbucks coffee, jet ski, scuba diver, and a brand new Christian, or a Christian who's been saved for a long time. What do these things have in common? They all need water. They all need water. We need water. We need water. And why is water so important? I'm talking obviously about the thread of baptism here. Why is baptism so important? And what's it mean to our salvation? What's it mean to our Christian walk? What's it mean to being a part of the local church? What does it mean? Why is it so important to be baptized? We see where John the Baptist saw Jesus, and he said, "Jesus, be baptized." Jesus was baptized here. It's such an awesome thing, because today if you're here, you say, "You know what? I just don't think it's important for me to be baptized." And, you know, Here we see Jesus being baptized. Now, let me just start off by saying this. If anybody ever had an excuse not to be baptized, it was Jesus. Okay, if anyone could say, you know what, I think I can skip this one-on-one session here of Christianity and not being baptized, it's Jesus. If anybody had an excuse not to be baptized, it was Jesus. And Jesus, by example, led the Christian church, the New Testament church, and led and said, I will be baptized. And he had John the Baptist baptize him. And we see things happening here, and they were all baptized. All these guys, the Ethiopian, the centurion guard, his family. The scripture we see, after they received salvation, it says they were immediately afterwards baptized. They were baptized into the New Testament church. So I want to talk about four things real fast here. The big four things I want to talk about. Baptism is going big. How many? Everybody say big. Baptism is a big deal. It's a very big deal, and baptism is going big. Let me talk about some things about baptism that are big. First of all, we see in scripture it's about obedience. The word obedience. Because when people ask me, okay, how do you summarize the Christian life? People ask me this question. If you were to summarize the Christian life, I would say this in one word here, obedience. It's about being obedient to God's word, not only accepting Christ and ask him to come into your life as your personal Savior and forgive you your sins, but it also comes as a Christian that we learn to be obedient. And one of the very first things 101 as a Christian that we're asked to do is to be baptized. And so obedience is a big thing. And so you submitting yourself to water baptism is, first of all, you stepping up and saying, God, I want to be obedient to what your word says. I'm going to be obedient. I'm going to allow myself to be baptized. And that's a big thing. It means more than just obedience, but it's a very key part of our Christian walk is learning to be obedient. Because in our own nature, we don't want to be obedient, do we? We learn that very fast. Those of you who have young children, we learn very fast that it's not in our children's nature to be obedient. How many know what I'm talking about? Any parents, can you say amen? All right, you know what I'm talking about there. It's not in our nature to be obedient. And so for us to be obedient to God's word, if you are taking an extra step saying, God, you know what? I love you this much. God, I want to show my love to you this much. I want to show that I'm sincere about what I'm praying, that I ask you into my heart, you be the Lord of my life. So if I'm asking you to be Lord of my life, to be the parent over me, to be my spiritual father, then I'm going to be obedient to what you've asked me to do, and that's to be baptized. It goes beyond baptism. It goes into all areas of our life. But one of the 101 things, the very first things we're asked to do as Christians is to be baptized. Jesus says, do this, and we are to do that, what he asks us to do. It goes beyond just baptism to all of our life. Many of you have made faith decisions. Many of you have stepped over the line and said, I want Christ to be the Lord of everything in my life. But the question is, have you gone public yet? Have you really gone public? Maybe you've raised your hands and said, yeah, I want to accept Jesus, and you pray that prayer. Maybe here at church or at a different church or driving down the road, wherever you were when you asked Christ to be Lord of your life. But the question I have for you, have you gone public? Have you actually gone public with your Christianity of saying, yes, I am identifying myself with Christ, I am being obedient to his teachings, and I want to be baptized? It's one of the very first things we do is being obedient to God. I'm trusting God with my eternity. I'm trusting him that I will obey the teachings of Christ. I will obey the commands of Christ. Obedience is huge. Baptism is huge because obedience is huge. The second thing I want to see here is identification. When we're baptized, we identify with Christ. It's another way, big deal. How many know our identification is? It's a big deal. Identifying with Christ, it's a very big deal. If I said to you this, you know what? I'm a Cowboys fan. I love the Cowboys. How many of you would be shocked to hear that coming from me? You wouldn't, would you? You know I'm a big sports fan. I like the Cowboys. But would you be shocked if I said, you know what? I'm a diehard Cowboys fan. But you know what? I don't like Bill Parcells, their coach. I don't like their owner, Jerry Jones. Well, you maybe understand that. But I don't like Drew Bledsoe, the quarterback. I don't like Roy Williams, the all-pro safety from the University of Oklahoma. Don't like that place. I don't like it. You say, what? What kind of fan are you? I mean, true blue fans, they like it no matter what. I mean, if you're a true fan, you're going to wear the team colors, okay? You're going to be proud, even when you have an off season. Some of you may not be able to identify with that, unless you're a Chiefs fan. But still, if you know what I'm talking about, when you have bad seasons, you still, if you're a fan of that team, you're not afraid to identify and say, you know what? I'm still a fan of that team. I'm still a loyal fan. Why? Because you're on their team. You feel like, you know, it's all right here. You know, we've been through a lot together. You know, we won some of the greatest games growing up, man. Thanksgiving, we're there. My family, we're crying, we're cheering. You know, you feel bonded to your team. Just because they have a couple of bad years, there's always next year, right? There's always next year, and you're always worried about it. And you're not afraid to disconnect yourself from that team. Doesn't make sense. On the other hand, many times you say, I'm a part of Christ's team. But you know what? I don't want to connect to his church. Oh, I love God. I love Jesus, but I don't want to connect and be faithful to going to church. Or I don't want to identify anything that has to do with Christ. I don't want to be publicly baptized because, you know what? I don't make a big deal about my salvation. It's between me and God. Well, I love Jesus, but I just don't want to wear a cross on my sleeve. This is what the scripture says here. He says, in fact, Jesus said this, if you profess me, you will confess me. That's what he says. If you profess me, you will confess me before men and tell the Father. He says, I will tell the Father in heaven about you. He says, if you are on my team, if you are a Christian, you will profess me before men. And baptism is a way of identifying that, is saying, you know what? I am identifying in public place that I am a follower of Jesus Christ. That I am allowing myself to be identified with Christ. Identification, it's a big deal. We're showing the world, we're showing our family, we're showing our friends that, hey, I am going to be obedient to the teachings of Christ. The third big thing about baptism is about the washing. Washing is something else we should think about when we think about baptism. My sins have been forgiven and forgotten. I'm cleansed. Not by anything I've done, but because what's been done for me through Jesus Christ. It's something I don't deserve. It's something you don't deserve. The washing of our sins. We don't deserve it, but it's something that's been done for us. That's why we submerge people when we baptize them at Destiny Church. We're going to submerge them because we believe in dunking people. Not because your hair may stink and we want to get it wet, but because we believe it symbolizes that our sins have been washed away. Being baptized is identifying it, and it's about a washing away, and it symbolizes our sins are being washed away. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. So we're baptized, we are identifying with Christ, and we're saying, yes, he is washing away my sins. The things I could never do on my own. A thing I can never do on my own, he is doing for me. A sin I can never remove from my life on my own, he is removing for me. The thing that I did that I deserve to die because of my sin, he says, no longer do you have to die, but I'll die for you. You walk in my forgiveness. We're saying, yes, it's the washing away of our sins. The fourth thing about baptism today is judgment. It's about judgment. Do you realize that when you're baptized, it's also symbolic about judgment? We realize that water and judgment go together in Scripture. We see through Scripture where water and judgment will go hand in hand. What happened in the Noahian times, in Noah's time, what happened? God brought judgment upon the earth, and he flooded the earth, and he only saved the few good men and women. That was Noah's family. He used water to flood out and to bring judgment upon the earth. What happened when the children of Israel were leaving Pharaoh's army? I mean, they were leaving there, and they left Israel, and they left Egypt, and they're heading out to Egypt. You know, they're heading out to Egypt, and they're going, and Pharaoh says, hey, wait a minute here. You can't leave. What's going on? So Pharaoh's army sends out what? All of his soldiers says, bring them back. Bring these people back. And the waters do what? The waters part. The children of Israel walk around on dry ground, and as soon as Pharaoh's army gets held back by a pillar of fire, but God releases that, they go after them. And God uses the waters to wipe out the whole army. God used waters to bring judgment upon Pharaoh's army for not committing to the word, for coming back to kill and take back slave God's people. What about Jonah? Think about Jonah. And Jonah was a man who was called of God. And God said, hey, Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh. And Jonah's like, I ain't going there. That's like downtown L.A. Skid Row. You know what I'm talking about? It's like that place is wicked. Everything that happens is going down there. God, if I go there, I may die. I am not going down there to Nineveh. And God's like, hey, Jonah, you go to Nineveh. I called you to go to Nineveh. You better be obedient and go to Nineveh. Of course, Jonah prayed about it, said, all right, God, I'll think about it. Boom, he was gone. He went the opposite direction. And word of God says he was on a boat with some other guys traveling, and all of a sudden the storms came up. and the sea was meant to swallow the boat. And Jonah said, hey, guys, listen, this is my fault. I disobeyed God. God's bringing judgment upon me. If you want to save yourselves, throw me into the water. And so they said, all right, God, should we do this? Yes, all right. And so they threw him overboard into the waters. And we see him sinking in the water. And, of course, that's when the water God says a great fish came and swallowed him up for 3 days. And then out on the beach, you know, he regurgitated him out there, you know, and is there. But what happened? What is that symbolic of? The water symbolic of judgment. It's also symbolic that Jesus spent 3 days in a tomb and was raised again. That's a really symbolic thing there about the forecoming of Christ. But waters throughout Scripture, we see where waters are used with judgment. So when we are being baptized, we're actually passing through the waters of judgment. Wow, what a big thing when you think about it. When you and I are being baptized, if I kept you underwater for about 5 minutes, what's going to happen? You're going to drown, aren't you? That's why we don't keep it for a long time. Now, some of you need a lot of prayer. May hold you under just a little bit longer, okay? Just playing. We won't do that to you. We don't hold people underwater because they'll die. They can't breathe. So we pass you through the waters quickly. But that's all symbolic that we are passing through judgment. Wow. That when he washes away my sins, that what? I am passing through the judgment that I deserve. That he has paid the price for me. That he has been raised from the dead. No longer does he have to bring judgment upon me. But as I follow after Christ and become obedient after him, I am passing through the waters of judgment. It's a very big deal. Baptism is a very big deal. But there's also other questions I have about baptism. Man, if I was talking about baptism today, and if I was just to go around the room and ask you to open up and ask me questions about baptism, these are some of the top things I've been asked in my life, and it seem to be the same things I've been asked over and over again. So I thought I would summarize them to a few questions today and answer some of these questions about baptism. The first question I want to ask you about is the baby question. The baby question. Matthew 19, we see here, and it talks about children. And this is the big question. What if I was baptized as a baby? What if I was baptized as an infant? Maybe some of you here were like my mother. My mother was born to a Catholic family, and so she was baptized as a small infant. Maybe some of you were brought up in a church that baptized and sprinkled and did some of the stuff to young babies. Do I need to be baptized now? And I say, well, let's go to the Word of God and see what the Word of God says about that. What to say about sprinkling? What to say about babies being baptized? How many would like to know what the Word of God says about baby being baptized? Would you like to know that so you can answer this question? It would be a great thing. Get your pen and paper ready. Let's get it out. I want you to write this down so you can answer this question. This is one of the part of Apologetics 101 right here. You're going to find out what Scripture says. Let's find out what Scripture says about babies being baptized. Hang on. Oh, hang on. I know it's in here somewhere. Oh, it's not in here. Nowhere in Scripture we see where it says babies are to be baptized. Do you realize that? Nowhere in Scripture. Are you sure? Because my mom's church, they take the babies down there. They're all white. They do. I'm not saying they're wrong. I'm just saying in Scripture, it says there's nowhere in Scripture to say that we are to baptize babies or infants. Does it mean I'm going to hell because I was baptized as a baby? No, it doesn't mean you're going to hell. It doesn't mean you were wrong. But what it means is this, that I believe that baby baptisms are more for the parents than they are for the children. Because it's something symbolic of, hey, maybe they think they're helping saving a child, but that doesn't do any good. You realize that baptizing your infants does no good. What does the Scripture talk about our children? It talks about this. It says this, that we are to what? Jesus said, bring the children to me and let us what? Bless them. He said, let me bless the children. So we believe in baby dedications because the Scripture says, bring the children to us. So today, if you have infants today, I say you need to have your baby dedicated to the Lord. Let us bless the Lord. We say, I never did that. Well, it's not too late. If you have small children or children you would like to have dedicated to the Lord, we'll do that anytime. Anytime, anywhere, you let me know. We'll schedule into the service and we'll dedicate your children to the Lord. Whether they're a baby or a preschooler, it doesn't make a difference. We'll dedicate them to the children. But we bring the children, and the Word of God says, so we lay hands on them and we bless our children. Jesus said, don't take them away from me. Don't keep them out of church. Don't keep them away from the spiritual things. He says, bring them to me. So babies and infants are very close to the heart of God. They're very close to the heart of God. He blesses them. He says, I want to love them. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Yes, he does very much, more than you and I will ever know. But we never see in Scripture where he says we're to take and to baptize our children. Why? Because they have no concept of what's actually happening here. Because when we're being baptized, it's what? It's because we believe in the atonement for our sins. We believe that our sins are being washed away. And so we have a knowledge of who Jesus is and what he's done in our life. And babies don't have that knowledge. And so for them to be baptized, it's just another thing happening, okay? As you could be given a bath at home in the baby bath, you know, and playing with your bubbles. And to them, it's all the same. They don't have no comprehension of what's going on. Some of you are like my children, you know, my son Preston. When I baptized him, he was about 3.5, 4 years old. And we were in the bathtub. He was in the bathtub, and I was giving him a bath. And he sent me baptizing people at church, so he wanted me to baptize them there. So we're just kind of playing around. So I baptized him, you know, and raised him up. And I just thought he was playing around. And when he got raised up, he looked at me so serious, said, "Dad, does this mean I got to be good now?" You know, he was starting to comprehend something about this baptism thing. I have to be good now, you know. And so, you know, babies don't have a comprehension of what it means to be baptized. And so if you were baptized as a baby and maybe sprinkled over or whatever, I say to you, yes, it's good as an adult to be baptized again. It's good to make a decision. Say, yes, I want to be dunked, man. I want to be immersed in water. It's being obedient to Christ. Does it mean God would want some blessed baby baptism? I'm not saying any of that. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. Okay, listen to what I'm saying today. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that they've got it all wrong. I'm just saying according to Scripture. And today, I just want to tell you, at Destiny Church, we're going to do things according to Scripture, not according to what some guy in the office is telling me in New York City or in Australia, but we're going to look at what the Word of God says, okay? Or brother, why don't you have people come down to the front when you accept Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior? Because we don't see in Scripture where God said, bring them to the front. We don't see that. Is there anything wrong with that? No. Have I done it before? Yes, I've done it lots of times. Well, I'll do it again. I may do it again. I'm not caught up on that because we see in Scripture where it doesn't say that. It says that public identification with Christ comes through baptism. Salvation comes. Now listen, salvation, we'll get to this more. Salvation comes, what, when I ask Jesus into my heart, okay? But public identification comes through baptism. That's what we see. I am publicly identifying with Christ through baptism. That's why baptism is so important, because we are making a public stand. The B-I-B-L-E, that's the book for me. I'll stand upon the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. That's what I want to be the authority of our church that I'm looking at today. And I want to teach you this. That the Bible is very strong about baptism. It's a very important thing. We want to be obedient to that. We'll dedicate your children to the Lord. If you want to dedicate your babies, we'll dedicate them to the Lord anytime you ask us. We want to do it. We want to bless you as a church, but we will not baptize your babies. Okay. Second thing. Second question I get asked is this I call it the Clorox question. The Clorox question. Is baptism like a spiritual Clorox? Is baptism just wash away all my sins? And I say to you, no, it does not. I'll say to this, even this today, I say to you this, if it was possible, if they came up with a machine where you could sit down in the baptistry and you could be dunked a million times a day. You could be baptized a million times a day, and the next day you could still split hell wide open. The baptism in itself does not save you. The baptism alone does not save you. It's just something we do as a public identification, okay? Being obedient to Christ. And it symbolizes many things in our Christian walk. But in itself, just me going and being baptized does nothing for me as far as salvation. It does not save me, okay? And so baptism is not the bleach that takes away all the sins, okay? Baptism is not the cure for everything, okay? We think, oh, I'll just get baptized. And I've talked to people about this. And I'll be talking to someone who's a Christian. They say, and well, you know what? I accepted Christ when I was 11 years old. I was baptized in the church. But they haven't been back to church in 10 years, and they do nothing about what the Word of God says. But yet, they were baptized. And sometimes we have a comprehension of thinking just baptism alone is what Christianity is about, and it's not about that. And baptism alone does not save us. Listen to what Ephesians 2:8 says here. For it is by grace, how? Say, by grace. How? By grace you have been saved. Through faith, this is not from yourself. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, plus being baptized as an infant, right? Doesn't say that. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, plus being baptized in the Assembly of God Church. No, it doesn't say it doesn't. Okay. For it's by grace if you've been saved through faith, plus being Pentecostal or Baptist, right? Doesn't say that. For it's by grace that you've been saved through what? Through faith. That's it right there. That's the answer. I receive salvation through my faith in Jesus Christ, that I believe that he is who he said he is. I believe that he has come to die for the sins of all man. I believe the price has already been paid. My sins have already been forgiven, and it's up to me to accept that by faith, not because I deserve it, not because I earn it, not because I get baptized, but through faith I have been saved. Well, Pastor, it cannot be that simple. I say it is. According to Scripture, that's where it's at. Now, faith is not a simple thing because it goes into every area of our life. But it's through faith that we're saved, through the grace. What is grace? Grace is when I receive what I don't deserve. When I deserve death and I get a pardon. When I deserve punishment and judgment and I get a pardon. Man, that's grace. Getting the things I don't deserve. That's the grace of our Lord. He says it's through grace. Even though we don't deserve it, even though we have done nothing to earn it, even though we haven't done a good thing, maybe our whole life for God, we can still receive salvation through what? Through faith in him. So it's more than just being baptized. Baptism is not the Clorox of Christianity, that you're baptized and now you're saved. But baptism is being obedient as a Christian, okay? It's very important that we know this is a very big test for you. It's kind of like the first test you get as a Christian. Are you going to be obedient to being baptized? The third question here I've talked about is called the eternity question. I want to call it the eternity question. The eternity question. How many love lawyers? You love lawyers. Don't you like lawyers? I got a good friend of mine who's a lawyer. He's my personal lawyer, and he helps me out a lot, more than he should. Let's leave it at that. Anyway, we got a lawyer that helps out with different things, and I like lawyers. I was reminded of the story. Maybe you heard me tell a story about the guy who was dying. Have you guys heard a story about the guy who was dying? The man was dying, and the doctor said, you only got 24 hours to live, so just take him home, you know, make him as comfortable as possible. So he went home, and he told his wife, he said, call my lawyer and call my IRS man. Call them both. I want him here. He's like, all right, honey, it's your last wish. I'll get these guys here. And so they come, and he's like, he's dying. Please come over to come. What do you want us to do? I don't know. He's just asking for you. He's upstairs. So I took him upstairs to the room. One stands on one side. One stands on the other. And he grabs both their hands. And he holds them close to his chest. And he just says this right here. Just smiles. And these guys being reverent, you know, thinking, well, he's going to die. We should just be nice to the guy. And finally, after a while, he doesn't say anything. And he's just holding them both right here close to him. I said, hey. Why do you, we're just going to ask you, you're dying. Why do you choose to be with us? Why wouldn't you want your children to be here? Why wouldn't you want your family to be close to you? Why have you chosen your lawyer, your attorney, and your IRS agent to be here? He says, guys, I'm getting ready to die. You know that. He says, and I just want to die like Jesus between two thieves. I love the lawyers. I tell this lawyer joke to all my lawyer friends. This is what I call the lawyer question. It's a technical question because this is always the question that's asked. Can you go to heaven without being baptized? How many of you ever had that question asked of you? Can you? A lot of you, yes. Can you go to heaven without being baptized? There's a lot of people who will argue with you, man, until you're blue in the face over this one statement. You've got to be baptized to make it to heaven. You've got to be baptized to make it to heaven. And this is the big question. Can you not be baptized and still make it to heaven? And technically speaking, I want to say, yes, you can. There is proof in Scripture that you can be baptized, not be baptized, and still make it to heaven. We see on the cross, when Jesus was there on the cross between two thieves, the Word of God says that one thief looked at him and said, Master, man, today will you remember me as you go to your kingdom of God. In his own way, he was crying out and saying, you are Lord. He was confessing him as Lord. The best as he knew how to do, he was confessing him as Lord of his life. And he cried out to him and said, Master, remember me. And Jesus looked at him and said, what? He said, well, as soon as you get down off this cross, be baptized, and then you'll be with me forever. Did he say that? No. He just said, God, will you allow it to rain right now so he can be sprinkled? He didn't say that. He said, today, He didn't hesitate. He looked at us and said, today, you will be with me in paradise. Today, you'll be with me in paradise. And so we see technically here, technically speaking, you do not have to be baptized to go to heaven. But let's go back and ask this question. But what is the motive behind that question? That's what concerns me more than the answer. Because the question is, well, do you have to really be baptized to go to heaven? And I say, technically, you don't, according to Scripture. But I say this, if you don't want to be baptized, there's probably something wrong with your heart. If you don't want to be baptized, there's probably an obedience problem we talk about in the very first point here. There's an obedience problem. Well, Pastor, I just don't want to get my hair messed up. I have to change clothes and, you know, I don't want it to get wet. I don't like water. I get water in my ears. It drains for like 2 days. And I say, what's the motive behind your question? Is it because, is there an obedience? I say, yes, there probably is an obedience question there. And so technically, yes, you can make it to heaven without being baptized. But is it important? Yes, it is, because Jesus himself was baptized. And if Jesus was baptized as he was a man, how much more do you and I need to be baptized? How much more? He led by example. I just see Jesus saying, all right, God, this is a second. You've asked me to be baptized, but this is a second. And you know I'm the Son of God here. How's this going to make me look that I have to be baptized even though I haven't sinned? God, you know I'm the only one and the only one that will ever be that has ever walked the face of the earth that's not sinned or will ever sin. But yet you're wanting me to do what the sinners are going to do. Jesus humbled himself to be obedient to his Father. How much more should you and I be obedient to God and his word? It's an obedient question. So the technical question is yes. And I know people like that. Maybe I prayed a salvation prayer for them while they were in the hospital, and they died in the hospital and never had a chance to be baptized. And, you know, there's special circumstances where people just cannot physically be baptized. And maybe sprinkling is good at that point. That's actually where sprinkling, do you realize, if you study it, that they for thousands of years, they actually used, you know, immersion. But it wasn't until they had water shortages and they began to have some problems with baptism, they began to do sprinkling. It became a thing of convenience because they couldn't get to the waters. Waters were drying up. That's where they invented the sprinkling thing. But sometimes it's kind of like we do. You heard the story about the meatloaf, you know. The daughter asked the mom, Mom, why do you always, for all our life, you've always grown up cutting off the meatloaf at both ends before you put it in the pan to be put in, you know, in the oven? And she's like, I don't know. I'm sorry, meatloaf. It's the turkey, right? Okay. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. The ham. I know Betty Crocker here, okay? All right. Cut off the ham, both ends, put it in the pan. She says, I don't know. That's the way my mom always did it. And so let's go ask her. And she goes, well, honey, I did it because my pan was too short. It was the only way the ham would fit into the oven. My pan was to cut it off at both ends. So I just always did that. But see, a lot of times we do things just because it's the way it's always been done, not because it actually makes sense. And it's not the way it should be done. A lot of times that's what's happened with things according to sprinkling. Why did they sprinkle? Because it was something that was just done out of convenience. It was done at a time when it was necessary. And so we pick things up. The fourth question today I want to ask you is this here. I call it the H2O question. The H2O question. It's the water question. Mark 1:5 talks about this. It says that Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River. Now, I've baptized a lot of people, and I've done a lot of things. I've baptized them in rivers. I've baptized them in swimming pools. I've done baptistries. I've used a lot of places to baptize different people. I've been baptized in rivers, and I've been baptized in the baptistry. I remember as a kid, I was baptized in a river at camp. I was old enough to go to camp. My parents were counselors at camp, and I went with them. And everybody was being baptized, and bless God, I was going to be baptized. It could keep me back, so I got baptized. And I also remember a time after where I had been away from God for many years, and I came back to God, and I gave God all my whole heart. And I realized, you know what, I just wanted a fresh start in God. I wanted to do it not because I was a kid and did it because, you know, it was a thing to do at the time, but I wanted to do it because I was an adult and making that decision. And so I remember being baptized again. And both times, it meant a lot to me. I remember God touched me both times I was baptized. I remember feeling his spirit in such a heavy way both times. Even as a little boy being baptized, even though I didn't fully comprehend maybe what was happening, I still remember God's spirit touching me during that time. But why is it that we have to use water? Why is water so important? And let's see what it says about water. In Mark 1:5, Jesus was what? Baptized in the Jordan River. If you study these words out, the word in, original Greek, is spelled E-N, in, which translates to in. He was baptized in the Jordan River, not alongside the Jordan River. He was baptized in the Jordan River. It also says here that Jesus was coming up out of the water. The word ek is the word we get. The original meaning of this word out is the word ek. It translates directly to out. And so it wasn't something that's been, you know, mistranslated over the years. When you go back and study the original meaning of the text, he was in the river and he came out of the river, which means what? He was immersed, okay? He was dunked. There's no ifs and ands about it. Jesus was dunked, okay? And so that's why we like to dunk people, not because we think it's just cool to get your hair wet. But we believe that, according to Scripture, that's what the Word of God talks about, baptism. And when you study the word baptism, it actually means to dunk. It means to immerse fully. You baptize. Baptizo is what that means, to dip, to immerse, to cover up. That's why we baptize by immersion. That's why we do that. You ask why. And today, if I wanted to baptize somebody, baptism represents what? It represents burial. That we are burying what? Our old man. It symbolizes that we are burying our old man and what? Becoming alive in Christ. If I wanted to bury my Bible today, what would I do? Would I take it outside and put it back and take some dirt and sprinkle it on top of there? Would I be burying my Bible? How about if I just took it and kind of halfway put it in the ground and left it sticking there? Would I be now, if I want to bury something, what do I do? I'm going to dig a hole. I'm going to submerge it in it. They're going to throw the dirt on top. That's burying, okay? So it means to bury. It means we are totally emerging ourselves into the waters. And so that's the question we're talking about today is how do we baptize and why do we baptize? And it's the question I get asked. Why do you have to do that? Because Scripture says that we are to baptize fully. Why is that? Because we do what? We are identifying with the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus, the now and the new life. Wow. And the last thing I want to talk about today is the mechanics questions, some mechanics. All right, Pastor, you're talking about not sprinkling here. So if I decide to get baptized and be obedient, how are you going to do it? The Bible says in Galatians 3:27, for all you were baptized, immersed into Christ, have clothed yourself, what? With Christ. That's thread, isn't it, right there? That's our length of thread. For all of you who have been baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. Baptism is another form of clothing yourself with Christ, with identifying yourself with Christ. Today, how are you going to baptize me, Pastor? What we'll do, we'll have a tank up here, and it'll be set up. We'll have water in there, and we'll have a nice little bench where you can sit down on. As you sit down there, we'll take a cloth, and we'll just help you cover your mouth. It won't be a long thing. We'll baptize you just like this. We'll say in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. You say, why do you say that? Because what? We serve what? A Trinitarian God, Father Son, Father the Holy Spirit. Matter of fact, we see we realize that when Jesus was baptized, all three were present. We see it happening. Jesus, the Son of God, was what? He was there being baptized. And then God says what? Scripture says God spoke from heaven and said, this is my Son with whom I am well pleased. And then he sent a dove in the form of the Holy Spirit, in the form of a dove, the symbolic of his Holy Spirit. So we see all three present at Jesus' baptism. That's why we baptize you in the name of the Father, the name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Spirit. Why do we do that? Because Scripture teaches us to do that. That's how we baptize. But also, because we believe that God, you are a Trinitarian. You are body, soul, spirit. And we believe that you are identifying with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And when you come up, you are identifying and saying, you know what? I am passing through judgment. I have been washing away my sins. I am on Christ's team. It's a symbolic thing. It's a very important thing. Why do we do that? Because it's an obedience thing. Like I said, it's not about being baptized with some magic wand that's going to make you white as snow. You got to do this or you're not going to make heaven. Turn or burn, you know, type of thing. It's not that at all. It's an act of obedience, of us identifying with Christ. It's an act of us saying, you know what, I want to be with Christ. And today, some of you here, maybe you were baptized as an infant in maybe another church. Maybe you were sprinkled or something happened to you. And you say, no, I never really thought about it that way. I never really understood Scripture that way. Today, I'm speaking to you also. Maybe some of you here, you accepted Christ, but you just never have been baptized. I'll say, coming up, this is your chance. Others of you, maybe you were baptized like me as a kid. And you say, you know what, since then I've rededicated my life to Christ, and I've made a new start. And I would just like to be baptized. I don't have to, but I just would like to get baptized. It's just saying, you know what? I'm identifying with Christ. I want a fresh start in my life. I don't know where you're at today, but I say today that consider baptism. Are your threads wet? We need to identify ourselves with Christ. If you're going to get baptized, I invite you. Invite your friends. Invite your family to come and share in that moment. Let's bow our heads today. If we bow our heads today, I just want to ask you this question. You say, Pastor Jim, you're talking about this, and I just have to be honest with you. I've never even thought about baptism, more or less. Even thinking about going up and being baptized somewhere, but I just need to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I need to accept Jesus. And today I want to ask Jesus Christ into my life to forgive me my sins. I want to learn to identify with Him and to put Him Lord in my life. If you're here today and no one's looking but me, and you know me, I'm not going to embarrass you. Just say today, I just want to pray that prayer and I want to accept Jesus Christ into my life. Can you just raise your hands high or I can see it? No one's looking but me. I want to make sure I give you that chance today if you're here. Second question that you're here today, you say, Pastor, as you're talking, I realize that I've had some issues in my life. Maybe it's an obedient problem. Maybe it's just I didn't know or understood. But as you're talking today, I believe God's speaking to me about publicly identifying with Christ. If I'm not ashamed to let people know I'm a Christian. And I want to learn to be obedient to Christ. If God is speaking to you today and says, that's me, I want you to raise your hand where you're at. Can you do that? Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Maybe you're here today and say, you know what? I need to be baptized. And I want to be baptized. That's me. I want to identify with Christ. And in 2 weeks, I want to make that decision to be baptized. Can you raise your hand if that's me? In 2 weeks, I want to be baptized. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Anybody else say, that's me. Thank you. Anybody else says, that's me. I want to be baptized. Thank you. Anybody else today? 2 weeks, I want to be baptized. Thanks, yeah. Say that's me. I want to identify with Christ. I want to learn to do this. I want to be obedient. In fact, you, can you raise your hand? Anybody else today? I want to give you a chance. Just to make that stand today. Say, ask me, I'm going to do it. One more time. Anybody else? I'm going to invite you to stand with me today. As I conclude in prayer today, I want you to realize this. If you raised your hand and said, I want to be baptized, or maybe you have children, next week they're going to be teaching on that in the children's department on baptism, and some of your kids may want to be baptized, make sure you call the office and let us know. We want to baptize you and your children. It's going to be a time of rejoicing. We're going to have just a celebration service that day, and it's going to be an awesome time. Make sure you contact me and contact the church office. The number's there in the bulletin. And let us know so we can save your spot. Let's pray together. Father, we love you today. We thank you, God, that you have given us instruction, God, on how to live our life as Christians. And God, one of the key elements and the very most key element besides faith, Lord, it's obedience. It's obedience. And I pray today, God, your spirit, Lord, work in our hearts, God, causing us to be obedient. May our nature be put aside that it doesn't want to be obedient. But God, help us to walk in a spirit of obedience to you. I pray for those who raised their hands today and said they want to be baptized. God, what a great thing it's going to be. And I just pray to Father they would follow through with their commitment. Follow through what they said they would do. God, strengthen them, God. And God, we thank you, God, you did die for us. And you did wash away our sins. We thank you, Father, that you have sent your Spirit to be with us. We're going to walk in obedience. We're going to walk in faith today. And people of God said, amen and amen. God bless you today. Shake a hand before you leave. Shake a hand when you do that. Tell someone it's good to see you.